All right, we're gonna get going. I'm sure we have some more people coming on as we move forward, but I want to introduce Chris Whalen, who's my CPA, and he does a lot of real estate agents, deals a lot with real estate in general. Super smart guy. I'm not going to give him too many compliments, but he really is. We talk about customer service and being accessible. That's his middle name. That's what I love about him, other than just he knows what he's doing. And I thought, you know what? We always talk about mindset and some different things, but I really want to mix it up a little bit. And I thought bringing Chris in right now would be a good idea. And he deals with a lot of other KW brokerages. So, Chris, without further ado, take it away, buddy.
Well, good morning. Thank you for the compliments, but I really just started my business. So Chris is my first client. That's why I'm so accessible. I'm just sitting here waiting for the call. But no, thank you, Chris. I've been a CPA for a long time. Did my first tax return in 1987. And I'm one of my main focuses is real estate investment and agents. And I don't know. So for just, I guess, from a marketing perspective, just talk about what I do. Chris says some nice words about me. I treat my Italian grandfather had a little fruit and vegetable business. And when I was little with him going around in his little truck, he used to say, listen, you think it's tomatoes, but these tomatoes are very important to these chefs that we're delivering to. So he taught me to treat, if I have a business, I treat it as an emergency room. So that's what I do. So I would, if Chris walked in with a broken leg, I would never get back to him Friday. So it's part of the mindset is that the anxiety level is so high and people don't always show it. So that's how I treat it. Like Chris will know, he never has waited even more than 2 hours for me to get back to him, never overnight. And I've never let a client wait. So that's sort of my mindset. And I think that's normal. Other people are just lax. So I get the benefit of looking fantastic to a guy like Chris. And I just think I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So yeah, we have a great full service CPA firm here. Have about a team of 11. All CPAs do the work here. There's no junior people who are high school students. So we have a good high level CPA tax hive mind here that I've built. And I really love what I do every day. So that's, I don't know, I'm very enthused. Like I couldn't wait to get on today. So where did you want to start, Chris?
I want to start with this because I have a fair amount of real estate agents that come to me, both new and experienced, that don't have an LLC or an S-Corp set up or their own company set up right for their business. And I want you to touch on that because I think it's really important. There's a lot of tax implications to that, both good and bad. So if you could deep dive into that, and I'm sure that it'll lead in some other conversations as well.
Right. Well, I'm going to share my screen. I have a slide or two I've prepared, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of presenting and there's all this stuff about LLCs and for your business or for your rental properties. And so there's a lot of misunderstandings about them. And some are about the formation and liability and some are about taxes. I'm going to touch on both of them in a row, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to share absolutely. My screen. And let's just talk about this for a second. So remember, there is no tax benefit to being an LLC, right? So like, for example, I'm a sole member LLC, Chris Whalen CPA LLC, and I can take any and all expenses, even if I was just a sole proprietor. So like the real estate agents in New Jersey, they can form an LLC or a corp. They have to file a Schedule C. But in that scenario, there's no difference. There is no extra tax benefit. If you're a sole proprietor, single owner in an LLC, you can take all your expenses. And I get that all the time. These people come around and say, no, form an LLC and reduce your taxes. But there is no such thing if it's done the right way. All right. And remember, the IRS doesn't recognize an LLC as an entity. It's a state level entity, right? So for example, a single member LLC, as I just said, files a Schedule C. If I didn't have an LLC, I'd file the same way. Rental properties and an LLC, a single member, would file a Schedule E. So there's no difference there either. Now, multiple member LLCs, if Chris and I have a partnership, that would usually file a 1065, but still the same partnership flow through on a K-1. So that's important to remember that if you don't have an LLC for something, don't immediately think you're losing something. Okay. So now I want to talk about, I prepared this spreadsheet because this is always the big question. If I have an LLC or an S corp, you know, is an S corp better? Right. And so the crux of this conversation simply is I can take all my expenses on the S corp and all my expenses on the LLC, but the S corp, they're trying to save some of your FICA or your self-employment tax. So if I could just take a minute, everyone can see my screen. Okay. My little spreadsheet. All right, good. So let's take a look. You're a realtor in Philadelphia and you make $100,000 net. Okay. That's our example. Now in an LLC, that's going to flow through, you see on a Schedule C, $100,000 self-employment income. On an S corp, we can take $100,000, but we can take part in wages and part in a dividend, as we see. It's still $100,000, but it's split between earned income and passive. So let's take a look at the tax effect. This is the main reason, the only real benefit to being an S corp if you can do this. And I could be an S corp and I'm not. So here, so let's look at the LLC column. I have my ordinary tax, let's say I'm a 20% bracket. That's the same in both cases, right? On my 1040, I pay 20. Okay, so that's ordinary tax, the same. So Schedule C, let's look down. We have $100,000 of Schedule C income, a slight adjustment, but my self-employment tax is $14,130, right? That's the self-employment tax on your 1040. That gives me total taxes of $14,130 plus 20 is $34,000. Okay. In my example. Okay. Now, if we are an S corp, I have wages of 60 and basically a dividend of 40. So if you look down below, if you're an S corp, you have to pay yourself W-2. That means you're an employee. You pay half the FICA or 7.65% and the company pays the half. So that's 15.3%. But in this case, we don't pay FICA on the 40. That's the play here. So if you look below, my self-employment tax total is $9,180, not $14,130. So I've saved about $5,000 in this example. See, so that sounds great, but part of that is now we have to do an S corp return, right? That's more money separate from your personal return. You have to be on payroll, which costs money. So, and the more money you make, the important thing here is that FICA taxable goes up to about $130,000. So if you make $300,000 net, in order for me to get this kind of tax break, I need to bring my wages down to about 60, but then I'd have a 200 and some odd thousand dollar dividend. So if you're not an S corp, don't think you're missing a lot. Again, we want to maximize expenses. I try to explain, this is what they're talking about when they say, oh, you got to be an S corp. The problem here is that look at the $60,000 and the $40,000. There is no company that's going to give me a 40% dividend, right? So there are rules, the reasonableness and compensation rules the IRS has. So if I'm making $100,000 as a real estate agent or a CPA, if I say that $60,000 of that was earned and $40,000 was a dividend, the IRS says that doesn't make any sense. So you have to think about that too. I can't have 50-50 because I'm earning it all. So just... Was that a decent explanation? Does everyone understand that? Does it make more sense now? Chris, yep. Did that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, this is a huge void with a lot of people who don't understand this. And matter of fact, I'm going to have you come in and teach us in our market center just because, you know, real estate agents do real estate sales, right? They're not CPAs or accountants. And then some of them don't have accountants or CPAs, so they really don't know what they don't know. So I think this is just really important.
The biggest problem with real estate agents is not taking enough expenses because now I know Keller people are much different. I deal with that Keller agents. I know, like all of you, show of hands, all of you have a separate checking account for your business separate from your personal, right? No one's commingling personal accounting, right? Hopefully Giorgio? Not. I see Giorgio Economou. You have a separate bank account for your business?
Of course, yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, so that's a good start, and we need to keep track of it because that's even if you're an S corp, the amount of money that people aren't taking as deductions is astronomical. Like for example, all of you should have a home office deduction, no matter where S corp or Schedule C. There's all this fear in the community. No, but you all started a home office. Your mileage starts there too. So you all should have a significant home office. Every real estate agent I get from someone else does not have a home office. So for example, this is a quick dot, like in our example, $100,000 here. So we have this $100,000 example. Let's say I have a $5,000 home office deduction. I'm now down to $95,000. I'm saving 20% on the $5,000. That's $1,000 right there in real. And this is right. And also I'm saving 15.3%. I'm saving 35.3% on every dollar for that, just that home office. So I also have good worksheets with categories of expenses that are really good examples. And because people aren't, they aren't thinking, because you guys are salespeople and you're entrepreneurs and you're out there working it. You're a living, breathing business. But you got to make sure your bookkeeping's right, because even if you were an S corp saving $4,900, you're still losing money because you don't know what you can take. One last thing about that: a lot of people have blended personal expenses, right? You have a husband or wife with an easy pass and everything, or a cell phone. Yeah. So if anything is a blended expense, always pay it through the business, because at the end of the year we can pull that out, right? It's easier to see if Chris has an easy pass and his wife has a transponder and he does. Well, good. I'm going to see tolls on his QuickBooks or a spreadsheet, and then I know to pull out a personal portion, as opposed to having to go grab, oh, I pay for my easy pass with this credit card, or my Verizon, Comcast, internet's paid here. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. So Chris, Maria
had a question. Is this good for New Jersey as well?
Right. A real estate agent, not a broker. If you're earning commission as an agent, even if you're a licensed broker, if you're working as an agent, you cannot put money through an LLC or an S corp. You cannot file form that. You have to have a Schedule C in your name, because the law in New Jersey is real estate commission has to be paid to a natural person, meaning that's the only thing that can go on a 1099. So Chris Stevens in New Jersey gets a 1099 to Chris Stevens. You can't put it to a company. So this is the mistakes I see. I have a guy in here, he just filed 5 years of S corp returns. Might have to be totally undone.
I have a headache just thinking about that.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you have to have the right representation. Not that that's an advertisement for me, of course. I'm never self-serving, but so this is a good example. This gives a nice understanding. So in this scenario, we're said the more money you make, if you're going above 100,000, it doesn't make logical sense with that split between the wages. So the more money you make, be an LLC. We could still have payroll. We could still have teams, do anything you want. And it makes it simpler for me and you, because we can just do estimates, because you guys have such fluctuating income, right? So I deal with my agents usually every quarter, because your January through March is usually pretty light. So it's good to also let me evaluate your situation, right, Chris? Like we've been doing the past few weeks, right?
Yeah.
So you really need a lot of attention, because you don't do this. And real estate agents don't like to do this more than anybody I know. They hate doing the bookkeeping. They hate worrying. If they don't pay their estimates, I'm like, yeah, you're going to get a 10% penalty. I don't care. I'm like, well, let's care a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you. I'm going to give you a scenario there. You own multiple investment properties. You also are an owner in, let's say, a JV, which is a joint venture title company, insurance company. Do you recommend having a separate LLC for each of those investment properties and or the title and insurance JV, or should they all be separate?
Well, let's the slightly higher level before we talk about. So you want to have, if you're going to have an LLC for anything, right?
Yeah.
We never want to mix passive income with earned income. So if I have an insurance venture, right, that's going to be earned income for me, or self-employment type income. So I rarely will mix that. I want to have I could have a number of those underneath an LLC, Chris Stevens, earned income holding company, LLC. That, right. Great. But rental, I want to keep separate, because rental is not subject to self-employment tax. So remember too, the big LLC misunderstanding is that people think they could be an LLC, then go run somebody over. Hey, I got an LLC now. I'm going to have road rage. No, you, you still have personal liability. So if Dana Friedman and I own a bread company and I'm out driving my bread truck and Dana's in the office and I hit somebody on the job in our truck, I'm going to get personally sued. I could have a million LLCs. That doesn't protect me at all. Then the company's going to get sued. It's going to protect Dana from getting sued because that's where the LLC comes in handy. So the most important thing to remember about, yes, I have can have multiple properties under one LLC is insurance. Having people, when they get an LLC ownership in a property, they sometimes let the insurance fall behind. And that's not true. So you, no matter what the situation is, I want to have adequate coverage as a landlord, commercial or residential landlord, because in my 33-year career, I have never had one property owner that was adequately insured and rated properly come out of pocket for a penny. So I, like, for example, I only invest in real estate. I don't have any stocks or bonds because that would drive me crazy watching Google every day. I wouldn't get any work done. So I have most of my rental properties that I own are not in an LLC. Because I'm the landlord. I have that personal liability, right? I'm supposed to fix the sidewalk. That's my role. I personally do not get an LLC protection if I'm personally responsible, and we are. But now the way the LLC helps you in that situation, the way to think about an LLC, now I want to get you a little nervous about I have personal liability. It's from agency. So this is where it helps. And my example with Dana, so if my bread company gets sued because I had a car accident and hit somebody, Dana is protected. If we didn't have an LLC, Dana could be sued as an owner, but that's where it helps you for agency. So you're always personally liable, but having an LLC for your, like for my business or for our rental properties, if you have partnerships with people, that helps you. Because if your partner and your rental property does something, or you hire a contractor to come in, let's say I hire a contractor to come to one of my properties and they hurt somebody or something, right? So that could come at me and they could pierce that, they couldn't pierce the veil. So it's always good to also call me and say, Chris, I have a client, right? We're doing this, right, Chris? And say, from a tax perspective, what's best, what, and to get me on the phone, like I'm available. Like I have agents call me, hey, Chris, I'm going to be driving through Trenton today from 2 to 3 with a big client from Connecticut. Are you available? And they'll put me on the speakerphone. And they'll say, hey, Chris, can you tell them about the out-of-state tax impact and answer questions about things? So I'm a good, that's a good use of me. It's good marketing for me. But it also, you say, well, I have a CPA on retainer. Can you send me your tax returns? Let Chris take a look at what you're doing. And that helps you look good. And it also gives me a good potential to market, but it also helps us control the client more. Because if I could become their accountant, you and I are we're working for their best interest, but you and I are a little hive mind to make sure we control the client and keep the client.
Chris, on your properties, you said you don't have an LLC for those. So how do you file those?
I file all those as Schedule E's.
Okay.
Each one's a Schedule E.
Yep.
You know? And now you could have unlimited, you know, Schedule E properties. So I mean, even if you did have a lot in one LLC, then you owned it solely. Right. Then you could do one Schedule E to combine them, which a lot of clients do. I have clients that have QuickBooks for 10 properties in one LLC. We still have to do all the accounting, but yes, that becomes one Schedule E on the tax return.
Got it. Yep. Makes sense.
But I like having it separate anyway. Even if you do combine, you still want to have separate accounting. Because someone, an investor might want to come and buy one or more of them, right? So thinking of the future, I can take my first, second, and eighth property and easily evaluate that over time. You know, so even if you do combine a lot of properties, always maintain separate books over time so we can evaluate it, pull them out, you know, because you might want to see where are your dogs? How much are you making? I can now combine my percentage of what is my real estate tax versus gross rents and things like that. I say, these properties in this area are giving me less of a return on investment. These are doing great. I'm going to sell these and buy more over here and do a 1031.
Makes sense. You guys have questions for Chris?
Any tax? Don't forget last year, if you did your taxes already, there was a very important new form called the 7202. And a lot of agents didn't have it on their return. A lot of accountants didn't put it on. It's a coronavirus tax credit for having to take time off. So it's an individual without children can take a certain amount. And then also if you have children, you can take it. And the rules are very vague. So please, everybody take it. If anyone here has a Schedule C positive income, even without children, and you don't see a 7202 on your return, you should call me to give me your numbers, because it's thousands of dollars that could be missed. And I'm seeing that too. So that's one of the last things to help out here. And also, if you didn't have a home office, you have to ask your preparer why. You know, you all agents work from home mainly. And the last thing I talk about, two things. One is mileage and auto expenses, because this is something that real estate agents hate to keep track of. I know Ashley Falkowski, she keeps a really detailed spreadsheet of all mileage all day, I'm sure. But so we need the IRS, when they want to bother people, or your travel or auto expenses are one of your big expenses, right? As an agent, it's one of your top expenses. So the IRS might not audit you, but they'll send you a letter. Hey, Chris, can you send me the details of your auto expense? Let's say you took 25,000 miles. Okay, well, that's nice to say 25,000, but they want to see your daily, the record of where you went. So we need to keep capture the address. We need to know the customer you were with. And so if a lot of you, there's Mile IQ and apps, that helps a little bit. But what you want to do is to comply. I know it's a pain in the neck, is that you should keep a real calendar and just put all the addresses you're going to. And if there is a corresponding client, put the client name. If it's just for you to go to do research on a new listing, just put research down. Because although you're not keeping track of the mileage exactly, but imagine you're audited for 2020 and you had done this, right? You had done, so we can take your calendar, we can export everything. I know you start from your address, 0 miles, right? And then we could do a spreadsheet. You went from this town to this town to this area. Eventually we can get a total amount of mileage. And so that's something you can do. If you can't do that, they're going to add back your mileage expense and give you tax and penalties on it. So try to do that. That's my little trick that we can do. You don't have to worry about odometer readings. Also, on January 1st, on New Year's Day, take a picture of your odometer. Because remember, all car expenses start with total miles, no matter leasing, actual mileage method. So this is the problem. People think, I have a Jiffy Lube receipt that said, no, we can't use that. So I call you guys at 6 a.m. on New Year's Day, just to remind you, take a picture of your odometer. When you get a new car, take it too, because that helps with an audit. So if I have my bookends, I have 22,400 miles on my Camry. I can prove that total. Good. So that's, the IRS can then work with you a little bit to know, that's probably 80% business. So that's the thing that people miss. So if you could just talk, and on the first day of the year, I get tons of pictures to archive of odometers. That's my New Year's. That's how I start my new year. I'm very excited.
It's like a lot of fun.
I might say I'm a very exciting guy, as you can tell. But when it comes to this, I love it though.
You accountants and CPAs, man, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah, but it's all about selling. So the last thing I might say, if we have a minute, is first of all, real estate agents are the most varied group of people I work with of any discipline ever. So some people work an hour or two a day. Some people have $1 million of advertising expense. So the thing that most what I see is all my agents are, they're fighting to sell the forever homes, which we know the inventory has been pretty tough, right, the past year. So I urge everyone to focus on investment properties and analyzing them and selling them. Those aren't the forever homes, but you could sell an investment properties outside your normal market area. And we have investors to learn how to deal with investors. They're a different mindset. They don't care about cul-de-sacs and granite countertops and where power lines are. They just want to know, what's my return on investment? And so I think that if you have a tight market for doing those forever homes, well, people walk in my office all the time and say, I inherited $400,000. What do I do? Well, if I have agents that have investment properties analyzed, I teach them. I have a whole little seminar on this, which might be worth it, Chris, on doing an investability analysis and understanding the mindset, because there's so much Can you imagine if I could triple your market area, right? If you, because now, right, you guys have a certain market area for forever homes, but investment properties you can sell around the country. And so that's something to think about. Like if I was an agent, I would never sell forever homes. I would just have a website dedicated without even showing real listings. Oh, you have $50,000? Oh, you have money to invest? Here, I have this good example here. Oh, you have 100,000, 200,000? Because that's what investors want to see. Am I helping at all?
Yeah, definitely, Chris. You know, Dana, we should implement this not just into the market center, but in the pro coaching as well. I think this would be good for the newer agents, right, to hear all this.
Remember that even agents, if I ask, everyone's been brainwashed into thinking that rental properties are animal house. Oh my God, they're going to trash everything. And that's only propaganda from the brokerage houses for 100 years because they don't make money on it. So they've demonized it. They want your money. So remember that investing in real estate for the long run always beats the market.
It always does.
Always yep. does. So yep. I meet agents that are not sure. So this is the most important thing is, and that's part of what the seminar does. But just in general, remember, if someone walks in and says, is it better to invest in the market or real estate? It's always better in the long run. And the basic premise of that is, so in my little seminar, I give $200,000 I have to invest. I buy 4 condos with $50,000 down and I buy $200,000 of Google, right? So, and then over 15 years, I have 15-year mortgages and they're paid off and the value's gone up in the houses even more than the Google would. But the idea is that at the end of the day, even the same value, I have to sell the Google to get money out of it. And the other thing is when people say, what's better, the stock market or real estate? Well, let me ask you a question. I always talk about Evel Knievel. He's one of my, everyone knows Evel Knievel. He jumped motorcycles. Yeah. He jumped motorcycles over buses. He got insurance. He was insured. Evel Knievel was insured against bones breaking. So when Lords I'm on that. When I'm on panels with investment advisors who don't like that I push real estate so much, I tell them that. I say, listen, I can, if an insurance company will insure something, that to me says it's real, right? It's a real, if the insurance companies will rate it. So that's why I tell all my clients without even telling them anything else. I'm like, so go to your broker and say, I want to give you the 200,000, but you have to insure it. Like Chris, we know we can get insurance on our rental property. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I tell these panelists, I seem like a nice guy, but I say, listen, if I can't insure your investment in Google, it's not real. I said, it's educated guessing in Atlantic City. I said, so if you want me to continue, then keep coming at me because I can win the argument even if I'm sleeping. So that's the main thing is say, listen, think about it. Why is real estate better? I have total control over the value. I could have 1 of 5 condos in a row. I can improve it, right? I have no market correction. I have very consistent pricing. It's a hedge. I can't get an equity loan against my Google stock.
Yeah.
So it's so simple. And what people do is they take my main, I have a really good 2 slides of the 2, the benefits and disadvantages. And it's something they keep in their desk. So here. And it's okay. So they'll never invest in the market again, at least not with the same level of brainwashing they've had.
That's great stuff. Chris, we're at the 8:30 mark. Can you put your information in the chat box and so everyone has it? They want to get a hold of you. I know I'm going to have you on the Market Center as well, but this was great information. Really, really good. Did you guys, a couple ahas there about what Chris was saying?
I love so many new agents I see immediately are like, should I start an LLC?
Yep.
And I think the better question is, do you have a good CPA? Someone that can educate you and can really guide you through the process. Especially if you're working in Philadelphia, there are certain taxes that you pay as a Philadelphia agent that you might not pay in the counties, which I learned, unfortunately, the wrong way when I first started. So having a resource like Chris is huge. Thank you so much, Chris.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. Just tell me if you can see that in the chat.
Yep.
Yes.
And I urge everyone to, that's my cell number. Put me in your phone. My main thing I say is, the moment you think you're bothering me, call me or text me. You know, you're sitting there. It's like, I didn't hire him yet, but eventually you will, hopefully. And, so you can read all that information. Hopefully I sent in. And right. So my motto on top of my website, I'm going to share the screen for just 1 second. And you want to subscribe to my blog, which I'll put there too. I have great information. Like here, if you look at my podcast, I just did mandating employee shots could bankrupt you, rental assistance information. So this is real information. It's never selling. It's like you're having a meeting with me. It's not bait and switch. You got to call me to get the answer. So I urge everyone to go to my blog page. Every time you open one of these, you're going to see that it's going to, you're going to be able to click here to subscribe. So it's just Chris Whalen, CPA. But if this is the most important thing, if we aren't working for you, then you aren't working at your best, right? You're close, right? Ava Lee, you're close to working at 100%. But until you hire me, you can't get there. Of course, tongue in cheek for fun, but that's so people see that and they laugh, but that's the idea. And remember, you shouldn't be doing, you're all entrepreneurs. Let's say you're all my clients. You should delegate everything that's clerical that does not make you money. So like me, I don't do my own bookkeeping. I have someone else does it in my office, right? That's why I could sit here. So anytime you find yourself, I know it costs money, but try to push off something that seems to be a clerical function in your day. Find an app to do it, find a remote person to do it, a virtual worker, because it's going to come back in profits. It's going to dwarf the amount of money you spend.
Yep.
And you also should have at least once a year after we do what I do with real estate agents, once a year, we get your taxes done in March. I give you your estimates for the new year. Hopefully you pay estimates 1 and 2 in April and June. But then we talk again the end of August. You give me all year to dates. And then we also meet in December. So usually have someone like me, of course, on call, but for billable time or real time, you want to do either with me or someone else, get your taxes done, get your first two estimates paid in the new year. And then third and fourth quarter, you want to be sitting with me to make sure we're not underpaid and we're not surprised when the new tax time comes.
Awesome stuff, Chris. All right, everyone. Thanks for being on. And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And Chris, thanks again, man. Great stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone, so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.